Well, I admit today is Basics Sunday. I'm going to talk about confession a little bit based on the gospel that you just heard. So it's a little theological and maybe a back to basics for some. But because of the negligence of the sacrament of confession, it's worthy to approach it at its very basic level to remind us all of the great value of confession and maybe how best to go about it. So first of all, it comes from kind of this larger moral virtue of penance, which of course is intimately connected with the sacrament. And what is this moral virtue of penance? Well, it inclines the will to turn away inwardly from sin and render atonement to God based on sorrow for sin as an offense to God with a purpose of amendment. So you already see in the moral virtue of penance the very basics of what it means to go to the sacrament of penance. We see in the Old Testament in Ezekiel and in Joel, be converted to me with your whole heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God. So the very basics are there in the Old Testament. Sin, I think we know, I won't spend time on mortal versus venial, but I always remind people, especially those who sometimes think, well, Father, mortal and venial, those are very arbitrary categories. And we just look at felonies versus misdemeanors, right, in our civil society, how naturally we have to make the distinction between serious and non-serious violations of the law or in sins. And with sin, the limited pleasure of sin is its own punishment. Such a great line. The pleasure of sin is its own punishment. Especially when it's limited and then in relation to the guilt that comes afterwards. We've all experienced that, where the true nature of sin comes rushing upon us like a freight train. So, what are the essential elements? Well, in all sacraments, we have matter and we have form. Like in baptism, water, and what the priest says. In confession, we have what's called quasi-matter, and the reason they call it quasi-matter is because it's not a material substance like water. The matter of the sacrament is really three items: the confession of sins, the contrition, and your will to render satisfaction. So the confession of sins, for mortal sins, they should be in kind, number, and the relevant circumstances. That is what is obligatory. Some comes in and says, I'll give you a dramatic example. If the serial killer comes in and says, I murdered someone, he might want to list the number of times he did that, right? Because he must be complete. And maybe the relevant circumstances, that he's not an officer working on death row, but that he's out in society as a serial killer, for example. So, fairly dramatic, but the point is made. Kind, number, and relevant circumstances. And it is salutary, but not obligatory, to confess venial sins. Contrition, which I'm going to concentrate on today. Contrition is three things: sorrow of the soul, the detestation of sin, the hatred of sin, and resolution not to sin. For those who sometimes measure their contrition by their emotions, it isn't necessary or always possible that sorrow be expressed in sensory feelings of sorrow. If you come into the confessional and you're not weeping your eyes out and falling on the floor and prostrating, hey, it's okay. I just need you to be contrite. That's all. You don't have to give me every display of emotion. That should be freeing for you. You don't have to conjure up some level of satisfaction. The priest hears your sorrow. No, you have to have inward contrition, much more important. And you have to have the will to render satisfaction or do penance. The completion of satisfaction isn't necessary, but it is good. So to do your penance that's prescribed in the confessional, if you die before you're able to do it, you're still forgiven your sins. If you forget for some reason, without great fault, but you forget, that's okay. The forgiveness comes with just the will to render satisfaction, the will to do that penance. So, contrition. Many times we concentrate on the examination of conscience, which is very important, but I find what's neglected most in confession is the sense and what is important with contrition. So what are the properties of adequate contrition? It should be inward, supernatural, universal, and supreme. So what does that mean? Inward, it's an act of understanding in the will. It's interior. Like I said, it doesn't have to be all in your emotions being displayed. It's inside. When Lord or when God says, rend your hearts, not your garments, that's what he means. It should be interior. It should be supernatural. Mere natural sorrow has no salutary value. You know, the atheist can regret, hurting his wife. But it has no salutary value in regards to the sacrament of confession. It's supernatural. It must be under actual grace and considered an offense against God as our final supernatural end. So that means in our contrition, it has to be, Lord, I have sinned against you. Right? It's directed to our supernatural end. It must be universal. It must extend to all mortal sins committed that you can remember. It isn't possible that one mortal sin be remitted without the other, right? It's not like for the serial killer, I'll excuse you for murders 1, 2, and 3, but not 4, 5, and 6, right? It has kind in number, and the contrition by the penitent has to be for all of those mortal sins. So universal, extends to all of those sins. You might have remembered in the past what I consider the foolish practice sometimes back in the era of abuses with regards to the sacrament of confession, where the priest says, you just tell me one important sin that you did, and it's representative of everything else. Not good. You must confess your sins in kind and number and relevant circumstances. Lastly, it must be supreme as to one's estimation, which means a sinner detests sins as the greatest evil and is ready to suffer every other evil rather than offend God again by a mortal sin. But it doesn't require to be supreme above all by intensity of feeling, right? You don't have to have just that feeling, but you have to mentally say, this is so bad I don't want to do anything else. This is the greatest evil to commit a mortal sin. What are the kinds of contrition? There's perfect contrition and imperfect contrition. Imperfect contrition, people tend to think bad contrition. And perfect contrition, good contrition. They're both good. They're just lesser or greater degrees of good contrition. So perfect contrition is the motive of the love of God, of charity. Lord, I have sinned against you, who made me, who gives me every good. Why would I do that to you, right? It's directed to him in great charity and love of him. God is love for his own sake above all, and it's a love between friends. And your object of your contrition is God's goodness in itself. Now, how do you get there? Well, the preliminary stage, the love of thankfulness, which has the goodness of God as its object, is the preliminary stage of that perfect contrition. So when I say, well, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me, and here's what I've done in return to you, I've sinned, that's the sense of perfect contrition, because I recognize I'm thankful for all God gives me. Perfect contrition doesn't demand that one renounce one's own blessedness in God, but only that one's own interest be subordinated to God's interest. Right? It doesn't require the exclusion of every other motive, right? It just prioritizes the motives. Nor does it require a definite grade of intensity or long duration, which are accidental perfections, right? So it doesn't have to be, I have been sorrowing for a week over this sin. Now I've achieved perfect contrition. It's not that. It can be momentary, but it's with the right priorities. Imperfect contrition, right? is morally good and a supernatural act and suffices for the sacrament of penance. So the sacrament of penance does not require perfect contrition, just imperfect contrition. It is true contrition from inferior motives, and it detests sin as an evil for us and suffices for forgiveness. So, imperfect contrition is neither filial fear, which coexists with charity, which is perfect contrition. It's not slavish fear, which only fears the punishment, but cleaves to the sin. It's imperfect contrition. It's both fear of the punishment, but also the God, fear of the God who punishes. It goes to the person of God, rather than just to the fear of his punishment. Thereby, it's aversion to sin. That's all that's required for penance, for the sacrament of confession, is imperfect contrition. Not perfect and not slavish fear. Fine, so that's contrition. Well spent time before going to the sacrament of confession to build up one's sense of contrition without needing, like I said, all the emotionality, which might come, but it doesn't have to come. But to work on one's contrition while one's working on one's examination of conscience. That's all the matter. The form, very quickly, of the sacrament. Ego te absolvo a peccatis tuis. I absolve you from your sins. That's the minimum necessary. It doesn't need the Trinitarian formula. I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, it's very good to do, and it should be there. But if you're going to confession in a place where you, maybe the priest isn't having a good day, if he says, I absolve you from your sins, you got the form. Okay? The absolute minimum. The three effects, this will be very quick, the three effects of confession, reconciliation with God, is the principal effect. Removal of sin and conferring of sanctifying grace, which is adapted to the healing of the soul from sin. And it also makes a claim to natural graces, or I'm sorry, actual graces to preserve one from sin in the future. So the first thing is reconciliation with God, restoral of sanctifying grace, the claim to actual graces to help you not to sin anymore. Second, not always so readily there, but can be there, a psychological effect of peace of soul. Many of you experience that after you come out of the confessional. It's like a great workout. You hate going in there. When you come out, you feel like, boy, I'm sure you're glad I did that. That's the peace of soul. And three, the revival of merit. Good works previously done in the state of grace, which have been killed by mortal sin, revives. It's reclaimed. There's a revival of that merit. As we celebrate the Eucharist today, it is good to review the basics for so august a sacrament, one that we tend to take for granted until needed, and then in our despair we cling to it as that great avenue to God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.